Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear and discuss the Gospel from St. Mark. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
National Vocation Awareness Week is November 7th through 13th. The Diocese of Corpus Christi Office of Vocations will host the annual Andrew Dinner at St. Pius X Parish Youth Center, 5620 Gallagher Road in Corpus Christi, Tuesday, November 9th at 6 p.m. The Andrew Dinner is open to single Catholic men earnestly seeking God's will in their lives. Pastors may accompany young men of their parish, ages 15 to 22, interested in exploring their calling in life, to join Bishop Mulvey and other priests and seminarians for a relaxed, joyful, no-pressure evening of discussion and dialogue about the life of a priest and the priestly vocation. To RSVP and obtain more information, please call Bob Cummings, Director of the Diocesan Office of Vocations, 361-693-6604.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
Very well. How are you, Barbara?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good.
Thank you. A wonderful day.
Continuing our October celebration, eh?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So our gospel this morning is again from St. Mark, if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
The gospel is taken from St. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 30. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." He replied and said to him, "Teacher, all of these I have observed from my youth." And Jesus looked at him with love and said to him, "You're lacking in one thing. Go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At that statement, his face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to the disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. So Jesus again said to them in reply, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were exceedingly astonished and said among themselves, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For human beings it is impossible, but not for God. All things are possible for God." Peter began to say to him, "We have given up everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel who will not receive 100 times more now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. This has some very heavy, heavy messages in it.
Yes, it's heavy if you take it that way, but I think if you pass through the door, the eye of the needle, mm-hmm. it becomes quite beautiful and light.
Yes.
It's tough maybe to get there, but once one does, so. I think when you go to the young man who comes up to Jesus and kneels before him because he's a teacher, mm-hmm. and just kind of in his youth excited about, you know, what can I do to inherit eternal life? So already there's a sense of eternity, and this is, mm-hmm. I guess, again, a cloud that hangs over humanity today, a lack of an appreciation or understanding of eternity because we live in the present moment, and I don't say that in the good sense, but there's a living in the present moment, which is good, and then there's others that we live for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I get it now, or I'm not going to ever get it. So it's kind of can be counterproductive.
Right.
So anyway, the man comes. What do I need to do? And so Jesus said, "Well, what do the commandments tell you?" And he says, "Well, this way," he rattles them off. No killing, adultery, stealing, lying about or gossiping about people, not defrauding, and honor your father and your mother. So these are the things that you are to do. I mean, these are basic moral principles, I think, for all of us. When people say, well, we have Jesus now, we don't need the Ten Commandments. Well, the Ten Commandments, Jesus said not a letter of the law will pass away. It'd be fulfilled, but not done away with. So those Ten Commandments are still very important, mm-hmm. extremely important for building a solid moral base in each one of us personally and in society as well. We see so much of so many transgressions to these stealing and bearing false witness and killing, etc., in our mm-hmm. society today. But these are just basic principles and virtues that we need to follow. So, but this young man, in his enthusiasm, said, "In all my youth, I've observed all of these things." And then it was interesting because Jesus saw in him an openness, and I think this is what Jesus is looking for in all of us. We can justify ourselves easily by saying, "I follow the commandments," and that that's it. But we also know from St. Paul's beautiful letters, the Romans and others, where we can become a slave to the law. In other words, we self-justify. I do all the right things, but I'm really not open to anything else.
mm-hmm.
And when you live by the Spirit, which the Christian is called to do, we live by the Spirit, then we have to be vulnerable enough to open ourselves to more. It's not mm-hmm. just the law. It's not just the Ten Commandments. What more is there? And we see the gospel based on that whole principle. You've heard it said, you shall honor your father and your mother. But I say to you. So he always takes it beyond. So
mm-hmm.
he says to him, what more must I do? And he says, well, one thing's lacking. Go and sell what you have, give it to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven, then come follow me. So that put the young man in a quandary because he had many material possessions, obviously. And at that statement, his face fell. If you put the humanity into it, reading mm-hmm. it that way,
mm-hmm.
you can see like, whoa.
It's not what he wanted to hear.
Wait a minute. My dirt bike, I don't know all the present-day mm-hmm. vehicles that are out there, but my mountain bike, my this, my that, my that. Wow. What's he talking about? And he was sad because he had many possessions. So there's one thing of having these things, but the other thing is possessing them
mm-hmm.
and being possessed by them. So obviously this young man, he had not only material things in his possession, perhaps he was a bit too attached to them, I can't live without them.
Mm-hmm.
Because what was Jesus was saying to him, I want you to live without them so that you can live with me,
mm-hmm.
so that you can understand me.
And sell them and give the money to the poor.
And then the poor also benefit from that contribution too. So yeah. So Jesus, and of course, because of that, he had many possessions, and I think in St. Luke's, he walked away. Mm-hmm. And Jesus addressed the disciples then and said, how hard it is for people who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for those who are rich to enter the kingdom of God. And, of course, the logical question was from the apostles or the disciples, well, who can be saved? Mm-hmm. And Jesus told them, for human beings it's impossible, but not for God. Everything is possible with God. It's, I think what we talked about another time about the weave of life, you know, the mm-hmm. two sides, the mm-hmm. smooth one and then the rough edge. So many times our life is full of knots and broken threads, and that's the side of life that's really hard to look at. But in all that, God's working with us. So nothing's impossible for God. What Jesus is approaching with this young man is to not get so attached to things that you miss the simple actions of God in your life. And I think that is a message to all of us.
We miss the big picture.
We can become so intent and intense mm-hmm. over small things or even big things that we possess them and they end up possessing us. We become obsessed with even good things. Mm-hmm. And in that way, we block out the action of God, that breeze that passes through our life daily. We miss it because we're so obsessed with what's important to us, but also that we possess. I would say it this way, one exercise that I know in a retreat that we have, when you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing you think of? And that's a question for anyone, mm-hmm. you know? And if it's the same thing over and over and over and over and over, then maybe you're possessed by those things. In other words, you're obsessive, and they've taken control in your life. For a rich person, that, you know, it might be material things. It, you know, it might be a future thing, you know, or, you know, a trip or a retirement. It could be all sorts of things that we're living in a way that we want to possess what's not in front of us. Mm. And that way we can't live simply. So Jesus is basically saying, for God, everything's possible. So that's why waking up in the morning, it would be a good exercise to just say, God, I put my life in your hands. I give you this day. Give me what I need, not what I want, but what I need to see the beauty of life, to see the beauty that you are, God, in my life. So I think it was just a call to not only to live by the foundation of these commandments, but there's also more, and that is only found in God's will, in Jesus Christ, in each one of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Bishop. I was thinking on your retreats when they ask you that, do people go around and share?
Not really.
The answer to that question. So it's just something that's in your head.
Well, I think it sometimes it can be very personal too, you know, because.
Right.
Sometimes we're caught in our own, immaturity of things. You know,
yeah.
We think that this is going to save, that this is going to be the end all of my life to have this. And then, of course, we know sometimes we get what we think we want, and then it's stolen, or we lose it, or we break it, and then
mm-hmm. then we have nothing.
Life's over.
Right. Well, thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
What a mega festival is planned by Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish in Sinton for Saturday, November 6th. From noon till midnight, the San Patricio County Fairgrounds will be filled with the aroma of flame turkey legs, authentic gorditas, delicious brisket, and more food than you can eat at one time. Folks will be playing plinko, shotla, darts, and trying to win a great dessert in the cakewalk. They'll be bidding on the silent auction items and enjoying live music from Mariachi Mexicanissimo, Robert Ray, Jaime de Anda, and Ricky Naranjo y Los Gamblers. Admission and parking are free, so make it to the Sand Hat Fairgrounds, 219 West 5th Street in Sinton, Saturday, November 6th from noon till midnight. For more details, visit olgsinton.org or call the parish office, 361-364-2210.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, I wanted to go back and ask you or talk about what it said in this gospel, because it was talking about how, you know, people who have wealth, it's so hard for them to enter the kingdom of God. And then, you know, that wonderful explanation about it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of the needle. We've talked about this before in previous programs. There's nothing wrong with having possessions and being wealthy. It's just what kind of importance you put on them. And, you know, if they're more important than God, then that's a problem.
Well, you know, the word stewardship comes to mind. We're all stewards. We don't own anything. When you think about it, mm-hmm. what is ours? Nothing.
Right.
And I say that not flippantly, but it's true. I mean, it can be taken away. We can lose. But the word steward, and there's the gospel of Jesus giving the talents, 10, 5, and 1 to different people, and it's what they did with it mm-hmm. that was important to him. But also Jesus in this gospel doesn't say, he says difficult.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say it's impossible, but it's difficult. And I think that's something that, you know, I think we just need to be honest. Everyone does. Honest with ourselves and honest in front of God. I mean, how many of us have actually taken time to stop in front of God quietly in prayer and just say, look at what I have. Where did it come from? And if you trace it back, I mean, even if you've inherited, somebody didn't have. Mm-hmm. Someone mm-hmm. started off. When I think of my great-great-grandparents or great-grandparents coming from Norway or the others from Ireland and what they came from.
Mm-hmm.
So we all came from something, somewhere that where there was very little.
Mm-hmm.
And the accumulation of things is passed on, or maybe it's just the person themselves that is in a situation where they grow in wealth, et cetera. So it's not that wealth takes over our life, but it's basically, even the word wealth, I mean, it's the material,
mm-hmm.
because things that are material can weigh us down. I mean, I've seen it in many people where, you know, you have certain properties or certain material things and you've got to buy the insurance and now the ring button, you know, to protect and protect. We're always protecting and protecting and protecting.
Right,
and protecting.
Right.
Those are just things that are humanly important to look at.
Mm-hmm.
The more we have, the more we have to protect. The more mm-hmm. we have, the less we maybe, and I'm saying these hypothetically, the less we may trust people. So it interferes with relationships. You know, I can't have these people here because they don't fit in with these people. So it's just
complex.
So what does it do to my relationship with God? And that's always the key. With whatever I have, what does that do in developing or impeding my relationship with God and my relationship with with others, my brothers and sisters? Those, because love of God and love of neighbor are the key,
mm-hmm.
The commandment. So if I can be honest with myself and look at the possessions that I have, does it enhance my relationship with God? Or do I have less time? Or does it advance others in the sense that I can share with them? Or that I can't associate with them. I mean, it's so complex,
mm-hmm.
and it's just so complex. So really, the only one that really can answer those questions is the person themselves, whether their wealth is minimal, whether it's huge, et cetera. But that's where God has given us a conscience, and it was important that we work with that. I think of many great saints, many of them women,
mm-hmm.
you know, some queens and princes in the Europe and the times of the revolutions, except Elizabeth of Hungary and the other one of Scotland, Margaret of Scotland. These were wealthy women in wealthy families, but they went out to serve the poor. Mm-hmm. They became saints. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't say it's impossible, but it's working with God and working with our neighbor, being loving God and loving our neighbor. That's what's, you know, so key. So we shouldn't say that everything's impossible, but it can be difficult.
You know what's coming to mind, Bishop, as we're talking about this, and, you know, of course, being in October, we're in the hurricane season, but, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we had some very bad weather across the country, and you see the devastation, and it's wiping people out, and what they all say when they're interviewed is, we'll replace this, but we have our lives.
Yeah.
We didn't lose, you know, so, I mean, that's what's most important, not the stuff. Yes, the stuff.
Right.
I mean, yeah, you want to have a bed and you want to have a roof over your head.
Sure.
But they're just so thankful to God.
Well, I mean, even, you know, I've had the experience, too, where you have something that's very important to you and all of a sudden it's gone. I mean, you if you move or something happens, even it could be stolen and you lose it. I mean, you spend time lamenting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've done that. I can't. Well, I can tell you as a kid, my dad and mom gave me for Christmas a jacket that I really, really, really loved. And I wore it everywhere. So, I mean, I was probably in sixth, seventh grade, something mm-hmm. like that. But I went over to spend the night with a friend of my mother, my sister and my we had another brother and sister that were friends. So mm-hmm. if her friend would come over to our house, I would go over there to their house. And so we did that a lot. So anyway, we went bowling one night with my friend's dad. And I must have left the jacket. And it's funny, even today I can remember what it looked like.
Yeah.
But I left it in the bowling alley. So it didn't dawn on me until like the next day. And I got home. And of course, then I was too embarrassed to tell them because they'd have to go back. And so I waited till I got home. And of course, then I got a few words. But they took me back to the bowling alley, my mom, my dad, I guess, and it wasn't there. And it really, you know, it hurt because I loved that jacket. And here I am at my age. I can remember that very clear. I can even take you to the bowling alley on Bingle Road in mm-hmm. Houston, Texas. But these are things that are like little lessons when you think back. What do we have that we just – I don't know how to put it, that we become possessive of, that mm-hmm. that's important to us, that we give a place in our life which may be a little excessive. And when it's not there, perhaps we realize what position that had in our life that shouldn't be there.
Mm-hmm.
But also, as you say, things get lost and we appreciate the value of what we do have,
mm-hmm.
which is life, relationships, love, God, faith, so many of those intangible things that are really what will last in our life.
Mm-hmm. It's a hard lesson for you to learn at such a young age, Bishop.
You can laugh now. I mean, I can laugh now.
Right. But at the time, it wasn't so funny.
There's so many other things. I mean, all of us have these experiences. But when it mounts up to really excessive wealth, I think those little experiences in life are important to keep us in check, that we don't allow bigger things to get to the point where you know, we really can't let go
mm-hmm.
of those things.
Yeah.
So, and that's what Jesus is saying here, that nothing's impossible with God if we keep God in focus in our life and the love of our neighbor in focus. If we keep those two things in focus, we won't allow these things to take possession of us.
Right. Exactly. You know, the very last part of the gospel, you know, Peter says to Jesus, we've given up everything and followed you. And he says, and then he goes on, and then I say to you, there is no one who's given up house or brothers or sisters. And he goes on, for the sake of the gospel, who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age. So I guess it's, you can give it up and it'll be worth it. You know, in the end, it is all worth it.
Well, yeah, but I think it's also what many call in the gospel the hundredfold. In other words, you give up one and God will give you 100.
Okay.
And that's not economically sound in our kind of society. But in God's way of seeing things, it's true. And this is where our faith comes in. I know that, you know, even in my own experience again, you know, as a priest, of course, they don't take a wife and don't have children. And yes, it's been there's moments when you really would love to see that and have that, you know, seeing your own brothers and sisters, nieces and nephews, and the beauty of them, you know, in their mother and dad's arms and et cetera, and their playfulness and things like that. So there's certainly those moments. Mm-hmm. But there are other times in life when you begin to see that God never outdoes himself in the gifts. And it really came to light, and maybe my brother's not listening, but anyway, when I was ordained bishop here and with the celebrations and seeing people coming from different parishes I had served in the Austin area and others, and then the people here in Corpus Christi. And my brother said something publicly to my family. We had a dinner one night, and he said, you know, I never understood you and why you didn't take a family, wife and family, and have that. But he said, today I understand because I can see that the church is your family and you have a lot of family members, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was a profound, and he's a very simple guy.
Yeah.
But it really touched me, and it was kind of this gospel. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, we do. I gave up something that's important, you know, in life, but God never is outdone.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's in everything, that we have to take those risks in life, that we let go of some things that are important, but God never is outdone in generosity. Mm-hmm. So I just want to say that as we're trying to live the gospel more closely, that God is never outdone in generosity. Yes, we do have to give up things at time. You know, even as a priest, we have to move parishes sometimes, mm-hmm. but we find more in the other place than we had in the other one. And that's our faith, and I hope we can live that in whatever vocation we have, that we can live that out.
Thank you, Bishop. If you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. Clothe us, Lord our God, with the virtues of the heart of your Son, Jesus Christ, and set us aflame with his love, that conformed to his image, we may merit to share in eternal redemption through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And may Almighty God bless each one of you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop. And thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.